to hear from the Word of God and asking the Lord to speak to your heart. I'm beginning a little series, and I'm calling it a little series because it's not going to take me all that long. But God willing, it's going to take me the remaining Sundays of this month, beginning this morning. And my plan is to preach on this subject Sunday morning, Sunday night, for the next three Sundays. So if you don't like this opening sermon, then you can lay out the next two Sundays. No, I'm just kidding with you on that. As we look towards the love of God, I want to share a couple of verses with you just as a springboard, and we're going to ask the Lord to help us here. Turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. This will be the main verse that we use as a springboard for this particular series that I'm beginning on the love of God and loving like God, loving each other like God loves us, and applying this specifically to our marriage relationships, asking God to touch us today. Now, I realize that we have a host of people here today that are not married. I'm talking to several widows. I'm talking to some widowers. I'm talking to some folks who have been divorced and you're not remarried. But hearing this, that I'm preaching the application specifically to marriages, don't tune me out, because what we're studying on today and through this series is the love of God. We're going to look at how God loves us. And may I say this to us today, whether you're married or not, we can rejoice in learning how God loves me. This is how God loves me is what I'm saying. We're going to look at the love of God, what kind of love it is, and specifically apply it to our marriages, because the Word of God says some important things, some sobering things. And I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 with me. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, I want you to stay there, but I want to read a couple of other passages of Scripture to you. In Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 39, it says, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." In John chapter 15, again, I'm just laying foundation here. Just stay with me here. In John chapter 15, verse number 9, here's what the Lord Jesus said. He said, "As the Father hath loved me." Now, I want us to think here just a moment. I'm getting ready to get started. But how much does God the Father love God the Son? It's indescribable. It's indisputable. It's indestructible. On and on we could go. We can only imagine how much God the Father loves God the Son. Here's what Jesus said, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." You may tell you how much Jesus loves you? As much as the Father loves him. Yet down further here it says this in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Now you put all these verses together, the love of God is a magnificent thing. And today I'm beginning a series on love as Christ loved. It's a direct quote from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Love, the Bible says, even as Christ also loved the church. And I'm lifting that phrase out. Love, even as Christ loved. And I'm beginning that this morning. Let's pray together, applying this specifically to our marriages here in the month of February. Father, would you please help me to get this across? And would you help every human being, every individual to be helped by studying how much you love us? And those who are married, we who are married, or those who may be planning on getting married, or those who are maybe years from it, but they need to learn these principles, help us to get it. And may you change us today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The marriage relationship is precious to God. He is the one who instituted the marriage of one woman with one man until death do us part, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. And of any relationship he could have chosen to picture Christ and the church, God chose to use the marriage relationship between one man and one woman to picture Christ and His relationship to the church. If you're saved today, if you know Him as your Savior, you are the church. And may I say this to you, this fact that He uses the marriage relationship to picture Him and the church, this makes the marriage relationship very important to Him and should therefore be very important to us. Now, I'm getting ready to say something, but just in case, because I know I am, I'm talking to some folks who have been divorced. And please do not think I'm throwing punches. I'm not. You should know your pastor by now better than that. But I will say this to you. Even though the marriage relationship is vitally important, it's been reported that over half of all marriages, that means whether they're saved or whether they're not, whether they claim to know Jesus or whether they don't know Him, half of all marriages end in divorce. And while the marriage of believers should be different than non-believers, this stat is also true among Christian marriages as well. Dr. Clarence Sexton said this, and by the way, let me pause here just a moment because I know how the devil will try to use a statement that the pastor just said there. May I say this to you? Some of the finest, godliest people I know have been divorced. Amen. Some of the finest, godliest, soul-winning people that I know have been divorced. I throw this out to you just in case you have been divorced, that God is not through with you. God has a great plan for your life. You may even be getting ready to get married again or something like that. Whatever the case may be, this applies to where you are now. Everybody with me what I just said? This applies to where you are now. In other words, if you're divorced, you're getting ready to get married, apply it to the marriage you're getting ready to go into. If you're not married, you're dating somebody and you oh, that's the love of my life, we're going to get married, then apply it to where you're at. By the way, if you're 7 years old, that's probably not happened yet, okay? And if you are married, then this applies to your marriage today. Everybody with me? Just apply it to wherever you're at. Dr. Clarence Sexton said this, just because you're a Christian does not mean you have a Christian marriage. And oh, how true that statement is. As pastor of this wonderful church, let me emphasize to you that this church and any church will only be as strong as the homes that are represented inside of it. And I know the devil is out to destroy the homes represented here. One of the ways he does this is he attacks the marriage relationship. Now, that's not the only relationship he attacks, but he attacks specifically the marriage relationship. Now, as we approach this message, this series of thoughts here that will last for several services, I ask that you ask the Lord to speak to your heart and strengthen your marriage. Now, there's not one marriage here today that cannot be helped in some way to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody has arrived. Determine that your marriage will get better and better, more and more like Christ. Determine that you're going to love like Christ loves you. Now, before I get to the main thought, and there's only one main thought that's going to take six services, okay? Before I get to the main thought of this message, they remind us here today that marriage in the eyes of God is a covenant that one man makes with one woman before Him. Malachi 2:14 talks about that she is the wife of thy covenant. Get this now. Marriage is not an agreement between one man and a woman. It's a covenant between man, woman, and God. Marriage is not a contract that you enter into with your mate. But marriage is a covenant that you make with God that you will be faithful and fulfill your picture in the marriage that's given in the Word of God between Christ and His bride, the church. When you stand at the marriage altar and you say, I do, you're not saying I do to your mate. You're saying I do to the covenant that God, that you're entering into with Almighty God. We here, there are too many who look at marriage as a contract. For instance, they have the attitude that as long as my mate earns my love, then I will give them my love. As long as they earn my part, I will do my part. Or as long as my mate meets my needs, I will meet their needs. Or as long as they keep their promise, I'll keep my promise. But marriage is not a contract. It's not a contract. It never has been. It's a covenant. It's a covenant between a man and woman with God. That makes it very, very serious. We are promising God, I will do this. I will do this. Every born-again married man and woman should see the importance of their union and how it pictures Christ and His bride to be taken very seriously. I want to ask you a question, those of you who are married. Do you look at marriage like that? Or is it, well, Pastor Jody, you don't understand something. You don't understand who I live with. You don't understand this, that. I know it takes two to tango. I get that. I understand all of that. What I'm saying to us is every person has a choice to make. Do you realize that you're making a covenant with God, not a contract with your spouse? Now, with this being said, if you're a child of God, you should have a desire. You should have a desire to be the very best mate that you possibly can be. And one way to learn how to be the best mate, the best spouse, is to study the Lord and see how He treats His bride. You know, it's a beautiful thought today that we in the church age today, we who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we help make up the church of Christ, which is also called the bride of Christ. Don't I make a beautiful bride today? I don't like that amen, whoever said amen there. But anyway, I'm part of the bride of Christ, which means this, I'm married to Jesus. That's a blessing, by the way. You may tell you how I ought to treat my wife. The way my heavenly bridegroom treats me. You may tell you what I ought to do for her. What He does for me. And what I want to look at today is we're going to study the Lord Jesus Christ. We're only going to get started. We're going to study the Lord Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, and what kind of a husband He is to His bride. And as we travel through these following thoughts, I plead with you, Lord, to ask the Lord, Lord, help me see that this is how You love me. This is how He loves you. And this, in turn, is how we should love one another. You know, before I began my study on the Lord Jesus as a husband, I thought that there would be all these different things that He does for His bride. By the way, doesn't He do a lot for us? Amen or not? I mean, He takes care of us. He looks after us. He provides for us. There's so many things. And I thought that that's what I would come up with here. Not me, but just look at all these different things. And while there are several things that could be brought out, the Lord guided my attention to one major thing. One major thing that Jesus does for His bride that all of God's children can apply to their own marriage today. Are you ready for this? I've already told it to you. The one truth I want us to focus on and imitate in our marriages is that Jesus loves His bride. He loves her. It's a simple truth. And yet everything He does for us is because He loves us. His love is active. In our text, the Bible says for husbands to love our wives even as Christ loved the church. The Greek word here for the word love is the word agape. A-G-A-P-E. I do not refer to the original language a lot, but this is vitally important to understand this series that I'm beginning this morning. This is not just any kind of love we're talking about. You know, the word love is used loosely today. You have teenagers and children saying, I love you. And they have no idea what they're even saying. You have people say things like this to other teenagers, if you love me, you would let me do this. That is not the love we're studying. Amen. It is agape love. Now, this is vital. This is important to understand because there are different kinds of love. For instance, in the Greek language, there are three different kinds of love. One of them is phileo, P-H-I-L-E-O. It's phileo. It's love that has to do with affectionate regard, such as you have for a friend. In other words, when I tell you, if I would walk up to my brother and I would say, I don't feel this way. No, I'm just kidding with you about this. But if I walked up to my brother or walked up to a friend of mine in high school or something like that, say, hey, man, I love you, man. You ever done that? Hey, love you, man. That's phileo love. That's, you're like a brother to me. We're close. Okay, that's phileo love. There's also the Greek word eros. It's where we get our word erotic. That's sexual love. That's physical love. But then there's this love that we're going to look at, and it's going to take 6 services to get through it. The love that God loves us with is agape love. And this agape love is the love of God. The love that only God can give. It's the same kind of love that God the Father has for God the Son has for His bride, and He's commanded us to have for our mates and for one another. It's agape love. Therefore, it's this agape love that Jesus has for His bride that I want to study in this sermon. All the verses that I quote, and I'm going to quote a lot of them, I'm talking about throughout this series, all the verses that I give you, the Greek word is the word agape. It will not be eros. It will not be phileo. It'll be agape. Everybody with me where I'm going? Now, this being the case here, get this. No matter if you're married or not, be blessed as we study this, because this is how God loves us. And if you're married, be challenged. This is how He wants us to love our mate. But even if you're not married, be challenged. This is how He wants us to love one another. This is it. I'm only going to get started this morning, and I'm probably not even going to get to the first point to describe it. God willing, that'll start tonight. And unless you're sick, I'm talking to folks who call this church your church home. Now, I'm not talking to visitors, okay? But you consider this your church home, all of this stuff. Listen, unless you're sick or you're dead or you're at work because you can't be here, you should be back in the house of God tonight. You say, I don't like this kind of preaching. Well, it's just what you're going to get, okay? Now, I want us to look at this. I'm going to tell you something. If you'll listen to your preacher, this will change your life. It really will. Let me give you 3 things today, and I'm only going to get through 2 of them. Just get started with the third one. Number one, this is vitally important to understand it. Number one, we see the command to love like Christ. Listen to these verses, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Does that sound like a request or a command to you? That's a command. Now, it's important for husbands and wives to understand that agape love, I'm not talking about eros love, I'm not talking about phileo love, I'm talking about agape love. It is important to understand that that love is not an emotion to feel, but rather it's a command to obey. When a spouse says this, now listen to me now. When a spouse says that I have fallen out of love with my mate, I just don't love them anymore, that cannot be agape love. That's impossible. Let me tell you why. Because agape love is God's love. And God will never say, I don't love you anymore. Can I get an amen there, please? Where would we be if God said, I'm going to tell you one thing, I'm fed up with that one. I'm just going to fall out of love with them now. Let me say this to you. When somebody says, I have fallen out of love, I don't love them anymore, it, get it now, get this now, it is either eros or it's phileo, but it is not agape. Now stay with me here. More than likely, now this is not 100% accurate, that's why I'm saying more than likely, when somebody says, I don't love them anymore, it means I don't eros them anymore. I'm not attracted sexually to them anymore. That's typically, that's mainly what somebody means. Not all the time, but what somebody means. It's emotional. Get this, we're not asked to agape love one another, we are commanded to. If you don't love your mate with agape love, you're disobeying God's command. This love is not a feeling. It's a choice. Do you hear what I said? Somebody said, I just don't love them anymore. It means they don't have that gooey feeling inside anymore. That's what they're talking about. This love is not an emotion to feel. It's a choice. It's an action. I will obey God. If you don't have this for your mate, you are outside of God's will and backslidden. Now, nobody likes to hear that, probably. But it's important to see this. Number one, the command. We are commanded to do this. Number two, the creator of it. Not only the command to do it, but we see the creator of this love. Now, listen to this. 1 John 4:7 says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love, now keep in mind, every verse I'm quoting, it's agape. So that word love, for love, agape, okay? Keep that in mind. Every verse I quote, it's agape. For love, agape, is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? What's it start with? Love. And that word love is? Agape. It's the fruit of the Spirit of God. It's the love that comes from God. Get this. It is vitally important to realize that this agape love is not a love that you can muster up inside yourself. You can't do it. It is not something you can determine. I'm just going to love. No. This love comes from God. Now, folks, stay with me here. He is the creator of this love. It comes from Him. It's supernatural. It is not natural when you're getting beat down in home, beat down. And by the way, if you're the one beating down your mate, something's wrong somewhere. But even when you're getting beat down, it is supernatural to choose to love that person anyway. That's not normal. You know what normal is? I want to knock their head off. I tell you one thing, good night, I hope they get what's coming to them. That's flesh, and that's normal, and that's natural. That's why you cannot love your mate like this unless God loves them through you. Stay with me now. So if you are not a child of God, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, you can't have this love for your mate. It doesn't exist outside of God. So if you don't have God, you don't have it. You see? It's impossible. But if you are saved, you are a child of God, and you don't have this love, this love that we're going to be studying together, you say, well, how do I know if I have it? That's the description, okay? That's why you need to keep coming back to these services. I'm going to show you what that love is. What is that love? That's under point three. I may even get started with it. It's this love. And then you say, well, is that how I love my mate? It's this kind of love. Well, is that how I love my mate? That's later. I'm just introducing this to you today. Which means if you're not a child, excuse me, if you are a child of God, but as we travel through this, you say, well, I don't have that kind of love. That doesn't describe my love for my mate. You can be saved, but that means you're not controlled by the Spirit of God. Because the Bible says that it's the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible also commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, then His fruit is going to be evident in my life. And the first evidence of the fruit, the first fruit of the Spirit in the list is love. There are too many people who are trying on their own to muster up love for their mate in themselves. when what husbands and wives need to do is fall in love with God. Just fall in love with Jesus. And let God love your mate through you. He's the creator of this love. He can give us this love for our mate. Show me someone who says they just don't love their mate anymore, and I show you a mate who is either not saved or they are so far from God and not controlled by the Spirit of God. The problem is God, the creator of agape love, has been neglected or ignored. This love only comes from God. This is one of the major reasons husbands and wives need to have a daily communion with God in order that His agape love will be ruling and reigning. You ever seen the picture of the triangle? Trying to help marriages where God's up here at the pentacle and a husband's here, a wife's here, or the husband's here and the wife's here. God has made a marriage in such a way that the way that you stay close together is as an individual, you get close to God. Because as the husband gets close to God and as the wife gets close to God, what happens to each other? As you get close to God, you're getting closer to one another. God has made the Christian marriage in such a way that if you bypass Him, you are condemning your marriage. The greatest thing I can do for my bride. And she's sitting up there in the balcony. I can see her right now. She's the good night. But a marriage is not built on that. Thank God she's beautiful to me. There is no comparison to my wife. But may I say this to you? God forbid it, but if she had an accident and her beautiful face was torn all to pieces, God's love never decreases. I'm trying to help you today. By the way, don't live in the past. I'm talking right now, from this point forward. This is it. Trying to help you. The greatest thing I can do for my wife is be right with God. Greatest thing she can do for her husband is be right with God. Because if she's right with God, she's going to love me. Not that I'm all that lovable. Actually, I'm just kidding with you there. I don't want her love to depend on how I look. Especially when my 4-year-old tells her daddy that Daddy, you look like you swallowed a watermelon, okay, by all this kind of stuff. If it's based on how I look, then my chances are not very good, okay? But I'm going to tell you something that I know that she does. I know she walks with God. You know what's a blessing? I know you can't trust the flesh, and we don't trust the flesh. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying to you. She knows when I leave the house, she can trust her husband. I know when I leave, I go out of the country, I go somewhere else, I don't have to worry about her calling some other man. It's not going to happen. As long as we're right with God. Follow me? This is the Creator. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Guess what word that is? Agape. God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but God gives us love. He gives us agape. Number one, the command. Number two, the creator. Number three, this is the remainder of the services. So I'm only going to introduce it. I may get to the first point. I don't know yet. Number three, the characteristics. What does it look like? What kind of love is it? How does God love me? What are the characteristics? How do you describe it? A study of the love that God has for us reveals what kind of love this truly is. And each one of these characteristics should be imitated by every child of God as a husband or a wife, even as a fellow member of the body of Christ, but I'm dwelling on the marriage here. The agape love of Christ that he has for his bride is not dead. It's not dormant. It is love that acts. It's active. 1 John 3:18 says this, my little children, let us not love, that's agape, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's one thing to say, I love you. Agape love goes further and proves I love you. It's the old statement that actions speak louder than words. You know, words can be empty if the actions don't follow it. I ought to be screaming out with my actions, with my life, honey, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. She should never doubt that by what I act like, what I do for her, how I take care for her. I'm talking about these things. It's an active love. Now, this being the case, let me introduce it, okay? Just the characteristics. There was a man who loved his wife tenderly, steadfastly for a total of 15 years. Without any responding love on her part. There could be no response. She had developed a chronic brain syndrome. It was attacking her mind. In the beginning, she experienced intermittent times of confusion. Her mind was leaving her, okay? She was a former school teacher. She had enjoyed driving her own car for many years, but finally, her husband had to take away her car keys for her own safety. As the disease progressed, she gradually lost all of her mental faculties and did not even recognize her own husband. Didn't even recognize him. He took care of her at home by himself for the first 5 years. During that time, he often took her for visits. She would always look her prettiest, although she had no idea where she was. He'd proudly display her as, "This is my wife," introducing her to everyone, even though her remarks were apt to be inappropriate to the conversation. He never made an apology for her. He never indicated that there was anything wrong with what she had just said. He always treated her with love, attention, no matter what she said or what she did. The time came when the doctor said that she had to go into a nursing home for more intensive care. She lived there for 10 years. Part of that time, she was bedfast with arthritis. But he was by her side every day. As long as she was able to sit up, he took her for a drive every afternoon. He'd drive her out to the farm, he'd drive her downtown, or just to visit the family, never in any way embarrassed that she was so far out of touch. He never made a negative comment about her. He did not begrudge the large amount of money required to keep her in the home all those years. Never even hinted that it might be a problem. In fact, he never complained about any detail of her care throughout the long illness. He always obtained the best for her and did the best for her. This man was loyal, always true to his wife, even though his love had no response for 15 years. That is agape love. That is the love we're going to study. And that's the love that God has for us. You know what I'm glad of this morning? And I'm debating on whether to go on or just... You pray with me, the Holy Spirit. I know half of you are going to say, "Lord, stop him." The other half say, "Lord, press on." We'll see who can get their prayers through first here, okay? I'm debating, "Lord, is this the place to stop, or do you want me to go to number one?" I don't think he wants me to. I think he wants me to look at you and say, "Come back tonight, we're going to start studying this love together with number one." Don't close shop, friends. There's some movement. Mm-mm. Don't close your Bible. I know it's early, you're not used to this, so just act like I'm still preaching and just stay with me. You know what I'm glad of this morning? I'm glad that when I'm on a spiritual mountaintop, God loves me. But there's been times in my life that I have looked very ugly to God. Not very pretty. Disobeyed Him there. Made mistakes there. Anybody done anything in your life? By the way, we're not going to stand and give personal testimonies, but anybody done anything in your life that you wish to God you'd go back and change? I have. There are things I wish to God I could go back and do it again and do it a different way. But here's what I'm saying to you. No matter how I've looked to God, He has never stopped loving me. He's always there for me. He's never left me and never forsaken me. Can your mate say that about you? Does your mate know it doesn't matter what I do? Now that doesn't give them a license, because part of this love is it causes something. You know what it causes? Reciprocal love. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. I'm trying to encourage us today that this is how God loves me. And this is how He wants me to love my bride. But until I get to the point where I say, God, I can't do it. And I run to Him every day and I beg Him to help me to have agape love. Help me love her like You love me. Thank You for how You love me. Help me mimic this. Help me imitate this. May I say this to you? When you stop trying and run to God, business starts picking up. I'm here to tell you that God loves you today. Why don't you come back tonight and I'll show you how much He does. We're just going to start walking down through these characteristics. There's many of them. So many, it's going to take me 5 services to get through them. But the overriding thing is this. God loves me like this. And I'm to love you like that. And really that starts with I'm to love her like that. God wants to do something. I can sense it in my spirit. Will you let Him help you? I hope you will. Brother Gary, I'm beginning the invitation, if you wouldn't mind to help me here, sir. Anything about the love of God, maybe even Jesus loves me, this I know. I mean, just something along that line. Because really the thought today is this. Jesus loves me. Aren't you glad He loves you today? Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not just some flippant love. No, it's God's love. It's agape love. It's the love that only comes from God. And I know one of the greatest promises that He has given His bride is when He looks at His bride and He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We may leave Him, just like you may have had somebody leave you. But He will never leave us. You with me where I'm going with this, friends? You with me? If you're not, I'm going to start all over again. Are you with me? You're with me, right? I hope, I pray, I trust you will say, I need this. May I say this to you? I do not know of a... Honestly, I'm not just saying this. I do not know of a stronger marriage anywhere in the world than mine and my wife's. I'm not kidding with you. I mean that with every ounce of my being. But I need this too. Because if I ever get in my flesh, I am capable of doing anything that any other human being is capable of doing. May God help us. Amen or not? Hope you're not saying or not right now, okay? Amen. Now, I want you to quietly just bow your head and close your eyes. Today, the invitation is simple. We're not getting specific this morning. Now, we're going to start getting specific tonight. Specifically, that's what that love is that yours? Here's what it is that you? It's the particulars, the specifics begin in the evening service tonight, and then all day next Sunday, and all day the Sunday after that. But today is a simple thought, and that is this. Do you know that God loves you? May I say this to you? If you don't, He does anyway. For God so loved the world. You know what that word loved is there? Agape. Look it up. For God so agape'd the world. God loves you. And if you're here today and you do not know Him as your personal Savior, the altar is open. In just a moment, when we extend an invitation, come, let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you. Let us point you to this God who loves you so much that He died for you. He died in your place to prove His love for you. Let us come and introduce Him to you. But my call this morning to Christian people is this: will you bring your marriage to the altar? It could be that your mate is with you, and I think that's a great thing. I think it's a wonderful thing. It could be that your mate-to-be is with you. Maybe you're not married yet, but you're sitting beside somebody, or you're thinking of them now. Maybe they're not in church with you this morning, but you're getting ready to marry them. Why don't you say, God, why don't you commit yourself saying, Lord, as the pastor goes through these things, would you teach me? Would you challenge me? Would you help me to get it? And not only get it, but help me to practice it. So here's my invitation call today. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll point you to the God who loves you. But if you say, Pastor, I want this. I need this. I'm telling you myself, I need this. God's going to help me in this. Then I want you to come, even if you cannot come to the altar, just use the seat there as an altar. Even if you don't get on your knees, just pray silently and ask God to prepare you for what you're going to hear tonight and the next two Sundays. God, prepare me for this. Try to get other marriages in here. You may be working with somebody that their marriage is falling apart. Get them here and ask God to help them get it. This is being recorded, so at the end of all of this, we can make this available to you. You can have my typed notes at the end of all. I'll give it to you. We just want to help you. So I'm going to have Brother Gary just to begin to sing. We're not going to stand together because I'm encouraging you to pray there in your seat just in case you're not coming forward, but you know you should. But I do trust that there's going to be some men to grab their wife by the hand and say, honey, let's go pray and ask God to prepare us for this series. Honey, let's go forward and ask God to speak to our hearts and strengthen our marriage. Men, God wants you to do that. God would have some of, not all of you, but some of you need to do that. And as He begins to sing, if you need to be saved, come. If you want to come and just pray as an individual, if you just want to pray right there at your seat, I'm going to pray. As soon as I say amen, keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. He's going to begin to sing. And if you need to respond to the altar, come. From the balcony down below, from the balcony down below, if God says, get up and go, then get up and go. And beg God to speak to you in this series that really we're beginning in detail tonight. And I hope you're here to hear it. Father, would you bless? Lord, I know in my spirit that you're trying to do a great work in this. And help marriages that are now, those that are married, help those that are getting ready to get married. Lord, I pray that you help them to see the vitality of this subject. God, help us. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Brother Gary singing. Who will respond today? Say, Jody, Pastor, I want this. As he sings, come on, come talk to God about it.
Oh, how He loves you and me.
From upstairs, downstairs, asking God.
Oh, how He loves you.
God, we're getting ready to get married. Help us to get this. God, we are married. Make this our union.
Life
whatever it is, speak to my heart. Make me like you.
Oh, how he loves you.
Make me like you.
Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you.
We're playing through softly. I'm going to have him sing that in just a moment again. Maybe God spoke to your heart today and encouraged you that this is how he loves you. We've not even begun to look at it yet. But he's preparing your heart with, let me tell you something, all I'm asking you to do is do what I do. All I'm asking you to do is follow my lead. I love you like this. I want you to love one another like this. And I want you to come to the realization that you can't do it, but I can. You come to me, love me, let me love you, let me express myself to you, and I'll love them through you. This is it. Surrender yourself. Maybe you want to come just thank God for how much he loves you today. As Brother Gary sings, there's time for you. Come on. Come talk to the Lord about it, would you please? As he sings, come now, please.
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me.
About done here. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I can look around this auditorium and I see folks that have lost your mate to death. They're with the Lord, you know that. You're going to see them again. My heart goes out to you. I told my wife yesterday, I asked, I said, what would I do without you? I want to honor you today that you were faithful to your mate. And God gave you a mate who loved you. You had this love with each other. That's a blessing. You ought to thank God and praise God right there in your seat for that. Say, God, I miss them, but I tell you one thing, thank you for giving me a mate who loved me like that. That'd be a good thing. No question about it. It's only possible through the love of God. We're looking at this together. I want to pray together in just a moment. You can look this way. Let me remind you of our soup and sandwich fellowship after the evening service tonight. If you didn't sign up, but there's still time for you, bring a soup, bring some sandwiches. Right after the evening service, we'll have just a church get-together over in the gymnasium, the Family Life Center. So come prepared to eat with us. Stay with us. That'll be good. Mind you about the soul-winning seminar at 5:30 down in the blue room, the second room on the right in the educational wing. And I encourage you to be there. Deacons, if you can be there, I encourage you to be there. Try to bring somebody with you. Leaders, you say, I already know how to be a soul winner. So do I, but I need this. I encourage you to be there. It's a brand new seminar I've been working on. It's not all my stuff. It's a lot of other people's stuff, but it's a brand new presentation. I encourage you to come out and hear it. It'd be a good thing. If you're a visitor, I want you to take your card out through the lobby, drop it off at the Welcome Center. There's somebody there to greet you, give you a special gift. And come tonight ready. Oh, God, speak to me as we study the love of God and bring somebody with you. That'd be a good thing. We have several people visiting with us, a lot of people visiting back with us. I want to tell you something, it does my heart good to look out and see you. We're so honored you're here. God bless you. And I want you to know that you found a church, I'm talking about a church that we strive to have a heart for God, to have a home for you, to have a hope for all. And we hope you'll jump in here with us if God so leads you to do that, okay? Let's all stand together, please. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you for coming today. Brother Shannon Barker, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, please.